into a study of God's Word in a way that encourages especially our graduates, but hopefully all of us, then that song, "Teach Me to Abide." It was Jesus that talked about how that if we abide in Him, that we are going to bear fruit, and that staying and remaining in the Lord is paramount to the life that He longs us to live, a life that we live being always faithful. Larry, I'm going to start with a smile or two this week. And one is a happy birthday smile. And I see you over there, River. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to Miss Beverly. Last week, I believe, and her minions around her. I love that. I thought that was good. Happy birthday, Andy Baker. What a hero of mine, and what a beautiful, beautiful scene there with Miss Susan. And then, listen, when you put a pile of chicken McNuggets in front of a child, I mean, life is good, right? I mean, it is good. Grandmoms and grandkids, moms and daughters, just so many great blessings for us. A little shout out here. Congratulations to Daniel Morgan. Was accepted into the Air Force Academy this week, and we are super proud of him. Super proud. And know he will do great things. We have lots of great things happening. We've got a shower for one of our young couples coming up next weekend. We also have a baby shower for another of our young couples, and just so many great things. We love our family, and we are thankful for you being here. One of the things that I'm thankful for is the way that you love the students that are part of our Spring Meadows Academy. There are thank you notes back on the board for those of you. One of the things that our families do for Spring Meadows graduates, and these are just a few of them, is that they will buy gift Bibles, Jesus Bibles, to give each of the graduates. And it is such a special part of the ways in which we are able to touch the lives of those kids, even beyond the doors of the school. And thank you for loving on our kids. And say, Shay, thank you for taking our picture. Shay Ballinger, if you need a great photographer, she's a rock star. But does our pictures, and appreciate so much that. You know, I want to start with the question every graduate is asking: what's a great life look like? You know, sometimes the world's answers look like achievement. It looks like influence. It looks like comfort, i.e. money. It looks like things and experiences we're able to have. We look at it as a great life. That's what the world answers. So sometimes we ask the question, hey, what do I want to be? You know, one of my favorite moments from graduation at SMA was the little fellow that looked up and when asked that question, among all of the, what do I want to be? I want to be a ballerina. I want to be a fireman. I want to be a veterinarian. This young fellow looks and he goes, I want to be a bubble. And I thought, it's baby Mike Moss, right? You know, I mean, it's a beautiful thing. You know, you never know what people want to be when they grow up. And so, you know, I think about this, and I think about Jesus has a better answer for us. And it's the call that we've already sat with a little bit this morning, and it's to be faithful. To be faithful. To be all in. You know, last week on Mother's Day, we looked at that first half of this greatest of commandments, to love God with all of our heart and with all of our soul and with all of our strength, or our mind, as the Jesus' version would say. And I think about that, and all in, it's when everybody kind of gets on board. The latest all in that I've observed this week is from last Saturday night in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. How many of you have seen the Eric Church commencement speech? All right, good. This will be all new, but you should watch it this afternoon. Only mute once or twice, especially you North Carolina State fans. But there is a speech that he gave that is probably one of the most outstanding commencement addresses that I've ever seen. And as he addressed the audience in this great country music singer with his shades on and his guitar in hand, he did something that I don't think Anybody in the audience fully expected Eric Church took the University of North Carolina to church? I mean, he preached for about 16 minutes, and it was fantastic. He talked about the six strings of his guitar and how they reflect different aspects of our lives. But the very first one he talked about, that low string, that E string, that thick bass line that is there, the thickest of all chords, the one that all other chords rest upon. He said this: your faith is the low E of your life. The thing that sits at the very bottom of you, your belief about what this life is for, what you owe, what holds the universe together when science reaches the edge of its own explanations and shrugs. Your faith. Then he said this: the people who tend to their faith in the ordinary seasons do not come undone in the extraordinary ones. They still hurt. They still sit with broken hearts in hospital rooms waiting and asking the unanswerable questions at 3 a.m. But they have a foundation to which to return to. So tend to your faith, not just when you are broken, but when you are whole. You know, I believe that so much of what Church shared on that occasion is reflected in Jesus' reply in Matthew chapter 22. When those Pharisees came to him and asked that question, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment?" Young folks, old folks, folks in the middle, the greatest challenge for us is to be faithful. And Jesus sums it up in these words when he says, "To love the Lord your God with all of your heart, and with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the first and the greatest, the great and first commandment. And the second is like it: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commands hang all of the law and the prophets." Now, as we think about this idea of being all in, of seeing the greatest life that we have to live, as we think about the things that Church said in that passage of Scripture in Matthew chapter 22, I want us to see that there are three commands, actually. We think about it in terms of two, but hidden in the middle of those, actually in an implied form, is a third. And I want us to talk about those three today. Love God with everything you have. Love yourself. Not like the world says love yourself, but love yourself the way God intended for you to be loved. And finally, love your neighbor. I think about those. I think we spent enough time last week scratching the surface of what it means for us to love God with all that we have, all of you, heart, soul, and mind. That all word, that holos in the Greek, this whole, the entirety, not holding back any part of your heart, your soul, and your mind. Not just a Sunday version of us, but an everyday part of our heart and life. Our motivation, our desire, our purpose is centered in being faithful to my love for Him. Being faithful in all things to Him, heart, soul, and mind. You know, I think about all in, and my mind goes back to just a few weeks ago. We heard the story of a boy with a dream. He grew up in Pomona, California. He had a dream, but not the kind that you just mention and forget. It was a dream to be an astronaut. He wanted to go to space. But the reality was, it wasn't just something he would think about and then hope happened. It was something that was pursued, something that had cost. It's much like in the phrase when Jesus would say, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." There was a cost to following Jesus. Victor Glover earned a bachelor's degree in general engineering, as if any engineering is just general. But then he kept on going. He received a master's in flight test engineering, a second master's in systems engineering, and a third master's degree in military operations, arts, and science. 3 graduate degrees stacked on top of an engineering undergraduate. He earned his naval aviator's wings in 2001. In his career, he flew over 3,000 flight hours in more than 40 different aircrafts. He flew 24 combat missions in Operation Iraqi Freedom. He completed over 400 carrier arrest landings. Now, if you don't know what that is, that's when you're flying into a moving ship at 150 miles an hour, trying to hit this cable that is going to stop your plane before it flies off the other side of the ship in the middle of an ocean, caught on a wire. And then he applied to NASA. Over 18,000 different applicants, 14 were selected, and Glover was one of them. For 2 more years of astronaut training. That's what all in looks like. It's not saying, I really would like to live a Christian life, and then not having anything that really committed to follow it. It's not just dabbling, it's not sampling, it's not keeping your options open. It's a decision that you make every day, every hour, every year to land your life on that deck of faithfulness to the Lord. It's being all in. But the thing I love about Victor Glover, the gentleman third from the right, he's a faithful brother in Christ. See, long before he became famous in the news, he was famous in a congregation just like ours. He's a Sunday school teacher. He's a man who's built his entire life on that foundation, that low E string of faith. Even this last journey, stories have been written about how he packed his Bible and those little communion cups, just like we shared this morning, so that when he was there on the first day of the week, he could worship and he could spend time in his relationship with the Lord. And it was on in that life, in that powerful dream he had, he was faithful. And he once said, what you carry to the moon is really what you build on the ground. I thought that was powerful. But it was Easter Sunday, 180,000 miles from the earth, that Glover in the Artemis II would be asked a question. And the question was, did you have any words? And he said, you know, it's amazing. So far from the earth, and we're reminded. And as he was getting to that nearest point where he was just about to go beyond the reach to the what's called the dark side of the moon, he said these words. As we get close to the nearest point to the moon and the farthest point from the earth, and as we continue to unlock the mysteries of the cosmos, I would like to remind you of one of the most important mysteries there is on earth, and that is love. Christ said it. Christ said it in response to what was the greatest command, that it was to love God with all that you are. And he also said, being a great teacher, the second is equal to it, that you love your neighbor as yourself. So as we are preparing to go out of radio communication, we're still able to feel your love from the earth. And to all of you down there on earth and around the earth, we love you from the moon. You see, Victor Glover preached Matthew 22 as an astronaut in a space shuttle, 180,000 miles from this earth. He was always faithful. He had an opportunity to talk about the vastness of space or the mechanisms that were going on around him. And what did he point to of most significance? Love God and love your neighbors. Be faithful to that. As I think about that, I think about that's what all in is. That's what it looks like. But part of this command was that we are to love our neighbors as yourselves. And oftentimes that love yourself part is not really looked at as something we kind of look at as a command. But God commands us to love ourselves. He's created you. You are special. You matter. And he wants you to love you. And we struggle with that in our world and our culture. We struggle with this, whether it's with guilt or whether it's with comparison with everything else or everybody else, or the looking and longing for something someone else has that and we miss what it means to love ourselves. As Eric Church would go all the way down those guitar strings, he would use this as his last one. After talking about faith and family and ambition and community, he got to this one and he said, "This is the string of you." It was the smallest one on his guitar. He said, "This is your sense of self, your identity." The high E string, the thinnest, and the one that is most easily bent with pressure. And I think, how true is that for all of us? Young people, don't be bent by the pressure. You be who you are, that you have decided to be. I am going to be faithful. I'm not going to be bent by the pressure. Church said this, "You were made uniquely, wonderfully, distinctly. And there's a sound that only you can make. It's a voice that has never existed before you and will never exist again. A contribution only you can bring. A way of seeing that only belongs to you. The world does not need another cover song. It needs an original." Isn't that what the Lord has said? Isn't that what Psalm 139 said when the psalmist David would speak and he said, "You are fearfully and wonderfully made." The Lord said, "For I formed you in my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." How does God view the unborn child? Well, there it is. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. That idea of fearfully, it's not an accident, not generic, not an afterthought. In the Hebrew, that word fearfully carries the idea of something that inspires awe. As you watch the sunset and you see the multitude of colors painted across the sky, you stand in awe. That's fearfully made. You're not a mistake. You're not a mass production. You are a handcrafted original. Now I want to ask you something. Do you believe that? Do you believe that you matter? That you are original? I mean, not just in your head, in your heart. You see, I think, again, that is one of the crises of our time, especially for young people. In a world that has handed everybody that measuring stick that is in front of them and tells them, you measure your life by what you're seeing everybody else doing and what everybody else thinks and whatever anybody's comment about your stuff is. And the result is we have a generation, not just in young folks, in all of us, that knows every flaw, knows every mistake, knows every deficiency, knows every way we fall short. And they know very little about what God says they are. In Ephesians 2:10, following one of the most beautiful passages in the New Testament, Paul writing to those Christians where he has spoken to them about the power of sin in our lives and how destructive and harmful it is in the whole first part of chapter 2. Verse 4 says this about God, "God being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he has loved us." God is rich in mercy, that even though we were dead in our sins and the mistakes that we've made, God has something better for us. Verse 8, "For it is by grace you've been saved through faith. It is the gift of God. It's not of your own doing, not the result of works, so that any should boast." Picture of God's heart for us. And then he says this, "Because we are his workmanship." We've been created, we've been recreated in Christ Jesus. But we've been created in Christ for good works, which the Lord prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. When you think about how God looks at you, I want you to see those things. I want you to see that God looks at you, and I love the way the Greek puts it, the poema, this idea of poem or a masterpiece. That's the way God feels about you. Some of you are writers, and I know you've submitted things, and it's awesome when you submit something and they give it back to you. And you go, "Hey, I think this is really good. I'm going to turn this in. Wait, I think this needs to be read somewhere else. It's a masterpiece. That's the way God feels about us. But not only that, He wants our life to be a life that is lived to the full. And you, as you love life, as you realize I've been fearfully and wonderfully made, God made me on purpose, with a purpose. He has created me and given me new life in Christ Jesus. He also says, I want you to have life abundantly. It's not about abundant things. It's about a life that is full. I know a lot of people with abundant things, but they don't have a full life. They're continuing to try to fill their life with things that just continue to help them realize that I'm still so empty. If that's you, my friend, I want you to know something. Jesus Christ is what was created to fill our lives. That is the way we were made. And that emptiness will never be full until it is filled with Him. It's what God says about you. So love God, but also learn to love the way God made you, who God created you to be, and how He longs to have you honor Him with your life. It's not selfishness, it's faithfulness. And finally, I want you to see this, that some of the greatest joy that you will ever experience in your life, some of the greatest fulfillment that you will ever have, is when you find out what a joy and what a life-giving blessing it is to serve other people, to do things for other people, to love your neighbor, not just the neighbor that you like, not just the neighbor who is like you, but to love all your neighbors, to love people around you the way that God loved us, the way God has taught us to love ourselves, and then we are able to therefore give it to other people and to be a blessing in this life. Love your neighbor as yourself. You can't be all in the vertical sense of loving God without being horizontally engaged with the people. Lots of times we talk about, hey, oh yeah, I love the Lord, but I can't stand Him. No, that's not. John would write in 1 John where he says, how can you say you love God and that you haven't seen and you hate your brother whom you have seen? It's not the case. We love our neighbor as ourselves. You know, Arthur Brooks was a Harvard professor. He did a huge study on happiness in life. And it was interesting, as he went around and he did this study, he found out that the world says that the key to happiness is to love things, use people, and worship yourself. That's the world's version. God's version is this. It's to use the things that you've been given, to love the people who are around you, and to worship the God who created you. When you love God with all you have, your heart, soul, mind, your foundation is unshakable. I think about the power of the example of our brother in Christ, Victor Glover. I think about the ways in which he came back, and the very first things that he said is, I want to thank God. I thought it was pretty awesome too. He said, you know, when you're sitting on all that thousands upon thousands of rocket fuel, pounds of rocket fuel, he said, there are no atheists on that. You know, we've been blessed. Seniors, you've been blessed. You've been blessed with some great families. You've been blessed with an awesome youth group to grow up with. You've been blessed with friendships that run deep and wide. And I want you to know we're proud of you. And we love you, and we're excited about the next journey of your life. But what I want you to remember above all things is no matter where you go, no matter how successful you become, no matter what it is that you do, our challenge to you is simply this. It's be faithful. It's the anthem of the Marine Corps, where those Marines would look at the things that they would say, and they would say this phrase, we'll come back to that, Semper Fi, Semper Fidelis, always faithful. You know, I love it when you're talking to a Marine, you say, hey, you were a Marine, weren't you? And the response never comes back, yes. You know what? Why? Because once you're a Marine, you never stop being a Marine. Right, Ronnie? Ronnie said, I'm always a Marine. I don't retire from the... Somebody said, hey, you were a Christian, right? No. I'm always going to be a Christian. I don't retire from this. This is something I'm going to be when I go to college. This is something I'm going to be when I get my first job. This is something I'm going to be when I first get married, when I first have my kids, when I have my last kid graduate and go off and get married. This is who I'm going to be. Always faithful. When it's just me living in my house alone, I'm going to still be faithful. When it's me at the last breath of my life, I'm going to cry out to God and I'm going to pray, God, all I ever wanted to be was faithful. Semper Fi. Semper Fi. You know, when I graduated all those years ago, some 35 years ago now, 36, I guess, from high school, I still remember the high school crush. She had this speech. There were three of us that spoke. She spoke, and the phrase that she started out with was this. Ready? The journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. Yes, exactly. Profound. Profound wisdom. But then I think about our faith as well. And I think, you know, you may feel like you're 1,000 miles from God right now. You may feel like you're 1,000 miles from having the marriage that you want to have. You may feel like you're 1,000 miles from being the person that you want to be. But you know what? That same journey begins with one step. One step. And today our challenge to our seniors is keep taking that step. You keep taking that next step. Whatever that step is for you, you keep taking that step. For some, it may be reaching out and asking somebody, hey, listen, I need you to pray for me. I need you to help me and hold me accountable for some things. It may be somebody saying, hey, look, I've got some questions. I want to know more about God's Word, but I don't know where to start. It may be reaching out. That's your one step. It may be somebody that says, hey, it's time for me to leave this addiction behind, and for you, it's a step of repentance and starting over. For some, it may be realizing that you understand what Jesus did in dying for you, and stepping in His direction is where you want to step this morning. For others, it may be you understand more about what that means and what that looks like. And for you, it may be it's time for me to step into the waters of baptism where God washes my sins away and clothes me with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. For others, it may be you're walking in the light. And that step for you is just another step in the light. Our encouragement to all of us today, not just to our graduates. Always faithful. No matter what happens, no matter what's been there in the past, you say, from this point forward, Lord, I am committing to be faithful. We sing a song at the end of our study time together, and at that time we have our shepherds in the back around the walls in different places. And if you're in need of a prayer in a special way privately, they're here for you. They love you and they want to serve you. But it may be that the step you need to make is more of a public one. And there will be a shepherd in the front as well as I will be. And if there's any way we can encourage you this morning as we sing this song to be faithful, we want to do that as together we stand and as we sing.